This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning, Charlie Dobbin.
Good morning, Franklin Proctor. How are you doing there, scruffy face?
Scruffy face indeed. Yeah, no, I'm really tickled in more ways than one.
Yeah, everybody's tickled.
For folks who don't have
poor
a camera,
Shirley.
Or at least a monitor at home to see us as we broadcast live from the
Zoomer. I'm looking at you on the camera.
In Liberty Village. I've got a very furry face right now, all in aid of Movember, helping out with men's health in almost any category you can think of. But I set a goal of $3,000, and gall darn it, I'm up $2,235.
Woo,
so far.
Baby.
So, very close, very close.
Yeah, and still 2 weeks to go, right?
Yeah.
It's the entire month.
Yeah.
You've done well.
Well, I have a number of our listeners to thank for that, too.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
God bless you. I've sent emails, thanking
everybody.
Personally,
big virtual hugs all over the place.
So, anyway, if you want to help out, Movember, Canada, just enter the name Frank Proctor with an O-R.
P-R-O-C-T-O-R.
Right.
Did you look? Is there another Frank Proctor with an E-R?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Just wondering.
I don't believe so. In fact, a friend of mine from the States tried to enter my name, and he put E-R, and he said, I can't work this thing.
Don't you love that?
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, you know what? We're here on The Garden Show.
We are.
And let's see. Oh, well, I
need
phone numbers.
You do have a job.
That's most important. Okay.
So do your job, and then you can go back and, start chatting with all your fans and all that important stuff.
Well, it's so tough. So popular.
Must be.
Okay. Here's the long-distance line, okay, toll-free. 1-866-740-4740 or anywhere in not anywhere. This is the local line now. Oh, God.
In this area code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 416-360-0740. And a little
call
discussion.
Call early.
Call often. One question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Carlos, our operator, know. And you're going to hear that just before you get to the airwaves. You get your garden wings.
That's actually a Salvation Army bell that Frank has.
It is.
It's a miniature Salvation Army bell. It's very sweet. And, and I don't know where you found that, but
I have no idea.
It's pretty precious at this point.
You
really,
bet
it's probably irreplaceable. So don't don't put it down somewhere and forget where you put it because that's like a special bell.
Exactly. Hey, well, in this little segment here, maybe we can kick around a few things that you think about this time of year.
Well, I mentioned to you
what other bad stuff you got going there?
Nothing bad. Actually, bulbs, I'm proud to say, finished planting my bulbs.
Oh, good.
Yep. And so interesting. I think it was probably about 1,300 bulbs I put in.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot, right? But I don't know if it's going to have much impact. I might have a very big property. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like in the spring. But I'm excited because, daffodils, tulips, little fritillarias.
We're talking hundreds of bulbs, though. You've planted.
Well, 1,300. Like crocuses. And it's all kind of mass.
Yeah.
So if there's, beneath, I have a birch tree that I planted. And it's called a yellow birch is its common name. Or Betula alleghaniensis. So it's from eastern part of North America. I planted 250 yellow crocuses below the yellow birch. So stuff like that. It's sort of mass planting. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. And then you're putting some of the stuff online. I mean, now would
there's not any pictures of now. But yes, I will for sure in the spring. Yeah. And of course, just follow me on Instagram. That's my social media manager, which is my daughter. she's very good at, I can put stuff on Instagram. I'm just not so good with all the hashtags.
Yep.
I don't know how people, I guess they just keep them, they save them somewhere and then they just copy and paste. I don't know how they do it. So she's way better than me at putting all the hashtags. And also we got our actual lawn mowed.
Oh.
Not just with Elliot running around with a push mower, but with a real, we rented a couple of men and their machines.
Yeah. Wow.
Still took them an hour to mow the lawn, but looks a lot better.
Oh boy, I bet.
But the best part of the story is that the lawn was so fresh and new and wet and green and mushy. Then we had clumps, because it's so long, clumps of green mush everywhere. But just, you know, coincidentally, my brother and sister-in-law were visiting, and it was like, well, at lunch, I said, we have an option. We could go to Sandbanks and go for a walk, or I have enough rakes, so we could go out and rake. And they knew, and they went, let's rake. And I was like, really?
Oh, golly.
And then the neighbors were so pissed off.
What a surprise.
How do you get a team out there? Like, how is that possible? I was like, well, you know, timing's everything. So we did. We raked the entire lawn. Like probably 10 wheelbarrows mounded with green mush.
No kidding.
Lots.
Wow. Well, we're getting mounded with calls. I'm looking at our monitor here, and it's full. So we're going to be along in moments to check in with you folks who are checking in with us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, Charlie, let's wander over to West Lorne. All right, say hi to Sharon online.
We haven't heard from Sharon in a long time.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning here. I don't know about down there, but there's nice blue sky, no clouds, no wind, no nothing.
Not yet.
Looks good.
Coming tomorrow, though.
Oh, it was frost on the ground all this morning.
Oh, yeah, we had good frost yesterday.
Anyway, what I'm calling for is pruning a potentilla bush. I've got it. It's about, maybe two and a half feet tall. Mm-hmm. And I've never pruned it, but this year, and it usually is, I mean, this was a weird year, but it didn't have many flowers on it, and that too. Otherwise, it's usually, you know, quite full of that too, but it didn't have many flowers on this year. So I was just wondering when it was good to prune it, either now, or is it like the forsythia that you chop it as soon as the flowers are done or whatever? Or?
So I assume it's a yellow potentilla?
It's a yellow
blooming. So two things I have to say. One is, if you didn't get a lot of flowers, make sure it's getting full sun. So minimum.
It is. It's right out in the sun.
Okay, good. Then one of the things I would do next spring is I would get some homemade compost or some composted manure and do a little top dressing around the plant.
Okay.
Just boost that soil a little bit. Not a lot. Potentilla is a shrub that you don't really want to, like, go out there with Miracle-Gro and make it grow a whole bunch, because it's kind of a scraggly-looking shrub at the best of times, but it's very dependable. It's very drought-tolerant. You know, it's very tough and hardy. So it's a wonderful plant, you know, in certain circumstances. But you're right. Just like forsythia, flowering shrubs, there's a rule of thumb with all flowering shrubs, which potentilla is, as is forsythia, do your trimming after they bloom.
Okay.
Now, for potentilla should bloom like mid-spring as opposed to early spring like forsythia. So, you know, May, early June. Mm-hmm. Now, what's kind of cool about potentilla, of course, is it will bloom again. It will continue to bloom on and off all summer, given the right circumstances. So up to you. I mean, if it's really looking kind of not pretty, like just, you know, aesthetically not very pleasing, you could give it a pretty hard pruning in the spring.
Okay.
And then allow it to just grow up from there and enjoy the first flush of flowers, and then after that, shear as necessary. Just take off little bits of dead growth or dead flowers throughout the summer, and you'll get more flowers.
Well, I've already taken some dead stuff off and that too, but I just wondered about cutting it back and whatever, whether it would bush out a little more.
Yes, it would. Hard pruning in the spring. And remember, you can always take dead wood off any plants at any time of year.
Yes, I know that. Right. So I put the compost on after I prune it and work.
All around the same time, exactly. It's one of those times where it's in the spring day and you want to get out in the garden and there's not much to do yet because it's still pretty early. Then you can do some hard pruning if you wish on the potentilla, but for sure, give it a top dressing.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much and have a good day and stay healthy and safe.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Okay, good to hear from you. And thank you for joining us here on Zoomer Radio. Next out, hop along to Hamilton, Frankie says.
Love alliteration.
Yeah, I do. There's Don. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Morning.
I have a climbing rose that it's quite old, and it's got some, on the leaves, it has some nasty little brown spots, and on the underside, there's some black. Quite a few black spots on there as well. Mm-hmm. Any ideas what I should perhaps do with that climbing rose?
Well, it's not unusual for roses, particularly older varieties of roses, to end up with fungal diseases, including one called black spot. So likely that's what you've got on the leaves. So at this time of year, of course, the leaves are in the process of dropping off. And what I would do if I were you is I would encourage those leaves to drop off, even if it means putting on some gloves and taking the leaves off. But make sure you collect them and bag them and take them off the property so that those, those leaves are not there to produce more spores to reinfect the rose next spring. So good garden hygiene is important when it comes to fungal diseases. I would do that for sure. I would do, if you needed to do some pruning this fall because it's overgrown, it's a problem plant, meaning that the canes are interfering with, you know, a walkway or whatever, do whatever pruning you need to do, but nothing too radical. Next spring, however, it would be a good idea probably to do some serious pruning on that plant. And you're going to prune it to open it up. You need some air circulation in there. You need sun penetration. You'll have fewer fungal diseases with proper air and sun. And you're going to take away the spindly, weak growth. You're going to take away any canes that are rubbing together so that, you know, you're going to take away anything that's diseased or dead or damaged. So all that will get cleaned up next spring. And depending on where it's located and how big you want it to be and what it's growing on, you'll sort of decide, knowing it's going to grow another meter or two next year. So bring it down so that when it grows throughout the season, you can just enjoy it.
Okay, excellent. That's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Exactly. We're up to our first break in the show. And as we say goodbye to Dawn, we just to remind folks that the lines are open. A couple of lines are open right now. 1-866-740-4740. And, of course, locally, 416-360-0740. And when we come back, we'll first deal with a wonderful email from Elaine Smith. So, Elaine, if you're listening there, ears up. You're coming up next here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Now, before we get to Diane online from Dorchester, let's deal with that email that I was mentioning. Elaine Smith.
I like this let's.
Yeah. She,
let us.
Well, hi. Jeez, Murphy.
I'm teasing you. It's okay. It's all defensive on me.
This note from Elaine, she and her husband, Jim, live in a village southwest of Stratford, Carlingford by name. And the subject matter is honeysuckle vine. Hi, Charlie. I love your show. Planted a honeysuckle back in 2017. Have never cut it back. There are three stems growing from root. Should I cut stems back and when? Thank you, Elaine.
Yeah, thank you, Elaine. And remember, honeysuckle, there's two forms. One is the vine form, the other is the shrub form. So with the vine form, which is what Elaine and Jim have, if you want to do some major pruning, now it's only got three stems, so it sounds like it really does need to be pruned in order to encourage some new fresh growth from the crown, so down at ground level. So now in the fall, on a dry day like today, you could prune as much as you want. Even if you just take the tips down on the three stems, you know, a couple inches off, you'll next spring encourage more bushy growth from the base. But you could go further than that. You could take a couple of feet off the top if you want to. But with a vine like a honeysuckle vine, we do often through the season want to just clean it up a bit. So remember, light pruning, shearing, any time of the year is fine with the honeysuckle vine. Just keep it tidy, keep it neat, train it so that it's a beautiful kind of a column that grows up some kind of a trellis of some kind. And honeysuckles, many of the hummingbirds love honeysuckle. So it's a great plant if you've got a good spot for it that, you'll get all kinds of birds and butterflies and lots of life around honeysuckles.
Excellent. Okay. Diane in Dorchester. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Last week, Charlie, you were talking about fertilizing maple trees and other trees. Pardon me, I tried to get back through, but everybody is, you're so popular that I couldn't get back.
Such a drag.
Well, that's a compliment. Anyway, what kind of fertilizer, is it a liquid? Is it a stick? What kind of fertilizer should we... When should we be applying it? You mentioned to
fall.
Do it now.
Now, absolutely.
Is that the only time we can do it? And what kind of an application? Like, what are we supposed to be using?
Okay.
I think I've got 15. We've been here 20 years, and over the years, now I have about 15 maple trees, and I want to keep them healthy.
Good. Well, what I said last week, and what I'll reiterate for people that weren't listening last week, is we used to always think that fertilizing in the spring all of our garden plants was optimal. And there is some truth to that, but more recent research has determined that trees benefit from a fall fertilizing more than a spring fertilizing.
Okay.
And that's because the soil is warm. The roots, of course, are, you know, huge. We're talking about established trees here, mm-hmm. trees that might have been in the ground for 5 years or 50 years, so established trees. So those roots are there. The warm soil is there. We get some fertilizer out now, and that's not – so what's perfect about now is we've had a hard frost. So we have to have had that hard frost. The tree is not sort of trying to grow a lot. If it was back in September, I would say, no, that's too early. You would be pushing new growth on the tree, which you don't want to do in the fall. But you put the fertilizer down around the roots now – it will absorb some, and it will all be there in the spring, and it'll be ready to go, and right away it'll just go gangbusters in the spring because of the presence of that fertilizer in the root zone. I'm not a big fan of the spikes. That's an awful lot of concentrated fertilizer in one very small 2-square-inch area. Many people love them. They're very convenient. You know, you bang them into the ground. The number you bang in is based on the size of the trunk of the tree. But I just feel like it's too much fertilizer in a small space and then not a lot of other fertilizer in between. Water soluble is doable, but it's onerous because it's a lot of mixing up and watering cans and walking around. I'm a pretty big fan of granular fertilizer. So it would be the form, not an actual, you know, lawn fertilizer, but it's that form of fertilizer that we put on our lawn. So a pair of gloves and you scatter this fertilizer out on the root zone. So drip line and beyond, beneath the tree, based on the square footage or meterage recommended on the box. And you'll find, shrub and tree fertilizer in a granular form. You should find it at a garden center, at a, you know, Home Depot, whatever. Maybe not this time of year so much at the big box stores, but certainly if you have a garden center nearby. Go
Thank
and
you
grab
so very
that.
Much for your help. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
Okay. Have a good day and stay safe.
Yes, you
and
too.
And keep going with that beard. Maybe you'll meet Santa Claus crowd there, Frank.
Very good. Thanks, Diane.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate that. Okay. Let's see. We've got Hildy online from Toronto. Good morning, Hildy. Hi, Hildy.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. Let me shut my radio off.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Hi. Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Happy to hear from you or talk to you.
Yeah.
I have a mysterious little bug that has been plaguing me.
I
wonder if you could help identify it. Tell me what it is.
Is this a bug inside or outside?
Just a minute here. Okay. Now, what did you ask?
Is it a bug inside your house or outside your house?
Wow, your volume is so... My volume must have gone down. Oh. I can hardly hear you.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're kind of fading out, too.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, you okay now?
Oh, okay, now I'm good, yeah.
Okay.
My chin touched the wrong button.
Oh.
I'm on a cordless phone. Okay, what was your question now?
The bug that's mysterious, is it inside your house or outside?
Yeah, it's house plant. It's on certain plants, so it's almost a gourmet-type bug.
Mm-hmm.
He only likes hibiscus, spider plants, and orchids.
Okay, and what does it look like?
Oh, just tiny, skinny as a hair, like a black, little black bug.
Mm-hmm.
Very thin, like a, no thinner than a hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thinner than a hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's very slim, but it sucks the juice out of the plant. The hibiscus is really noticeable. On the spider, it's more of a sucking the inside and creating like veins or something, you know, like at the edges of the leaf. It's like there's something inside. But they're also, they just move along. They don't fly. They don't jump. I squish them with my finger or I've been spraying them with insecticidal soap, and I was hoping just to identify it.
Hmm. Well, okay, so if it, I mean, it sounds very, very small when you say like a hair, like thinner
like,
than a hair.
Like a period or a comma. I can't even describe it because it's so small. I got my magnifying glass out now to see if I could see anything more.
Oh, okay.
I can,
so-
too. There's little white spots on the leaves, too, which they're on both sides, but the spots go right through. But there's also a white, maybe eggs, I don't know. They must be propagating somehow because no matter how much I spray, they keep coming back.
Are you seeing any evidence of webbing, like spider?
No webbing, no.
No webbing at all.
No, just these little white...
speckles on the plants, leaves.
Yeah.
But the insects, when you say like size of here, so they're, I'm just trying to get a sense. So they're black, they're not black. They're black and white? No.
No, they're black.
They're black, and, but they're round little creatures or they're.
They're long. No, they're long. They look, like I said, like a, no bigger than a period, but they are lengthy. They're, they're that, you know.
Wow.
That small,
so,
but they're.
You need a magnifying lens on your camera and send me a picture. I mean, the one thing that looks like a hair that, you know, is called a wire worm because it looks just like a hair.
Right, that sounds good.
The proper name of that is a nematode. And there are beneficial nematodes and there are problematic nematodes. Typically, though, they live in the soil and they, if they're bad nematodes, they will chew the roots. So, but you're seeing this up on the leaves.
Yeah, this is on both sides of the leaf.
Wow.
Okay, so that's a good stumper.
I got juice stumped. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
No. It's good. I like hard questions. Okay, I guess you're just going to have to leave that with me. And meanwhile, anybody who's listening might have an idea that I'm just not thinking of. So
yeah, I've never heard of it before. And I've looked at all the books that I have, too. I mean, got a lot of houseplants. They don't touch the succulents.
Right.
Mostly I have succulents. They don't touch the really scented things like my scented geranium or the plectranthus or, you know.
Yeah. They, so, I mean, when you see that white stippling on the leaves, that is a good indication that this is a sucking insect. Meaning that it does have,
also, when I haven't sprayed them for a while on the hibiscus, particularly, the leaves went gray. I go, my God, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this might be, if you've been using the soap and you've been using it as per instructions.
Not as often as they should, but I keep it.
Yeah, just got to keep on top.
Once a week, maybe.
No, but once a week, if you spray thoroughly, and this is something, see, you got to remember, soap works by coating insects' bodies, and then they can't breathe, and then they die. But as you point out, eggs are constantly hatching. So you do have to spray more than once. You do have to spray thoroughly. So to the dripping point. So I'd be moving the plants into the bathtub or the shower, spray them in there so you can really do a proper spray. You don't want to be spraying your curtains and walls. And
No, they've got a place in the bathtub. I have to do it sort of after my shower. Right?
Yeah, no, good idea. But, you know, at the end of the day, you may end up not being able to beat the bug and you may need to toss some plants. I hate to say it.
Hibiscus is a beautiful orange color.
Exactly. I did. I had white fly on my hibiscus that I could not control. Beautiful apricot colored flowers.
Gorgeous.
I had to stick it out in the frost and kill the plant and kill the bugs.
I could do that. It's freezing.
I know, but it unfortunately kills the plant. So, yeah, you hate to do it with plants you love. So
I'll keep it. I maybe need to be a little more on the job, you know, twice a week.
Yeah, and let me think about this a little more. Like I said, maybe somebody will phone in with some, you know, wonderful brainstorm idea.
Thanks, Hildy.
Keep listening, Hildy. We'll do our best.
All right,
boy. Thanks.
Oh, my. The problems, huh?
I know. Hmm.
Well, Charlie tries to solve them all here on The Garden Show.
My job.
We're going to take just a little veer to a direction here, to an email from Alice McKinnon. Has a great letter all about rhubarb. A little bit late to deal with that, but the main question for today is from Alice. I've dug up a tomato plant and it had blooms that are now tomatoes. Will they turn red in the house? And what should I do differently in the house as in the garden?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Alice. This is an email from, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
So we're kind of catching up. She starts her email by supporting some advice I had given to a caller about rhubarb that wasn't doing much. And she just comments that rhubarb is so tough. You really can't kill it. And the listener or the caller that day should just stay calm. Likely it'll all show up again next spring, no problem. But Alice sent a photograph, you probably didn't see it, of, she did a really nice job. She dug up her tomato plant, potted it up in a pot, brought it in her house. It looks great. Lots of little green tomatoes, shiny little green tomatoes all over it. And this, again, is 3 weeks ago. So full sun, that's your biggest challenge at this time of year. Days are shorter. Light is not nearly as intense, obviously, in November as it is back in July. So you may need to supplement. If you want to keep that tomato alive and producing, which you can do, I mean, the commercial tomato growers grow tomatoes year-round in greenhouses, but you do need that supplemental lighting or a southern window that's completely exposed with no shears or anything on it, and this plant is getting as much light as possible. Water only as necessary. And depending on what the plant is looking like. I mean, if it's growing actively, and yes, those tomatoes will turn red eventually, again, it's going to be a light thing. So you might just get yourself a little grow light, something that you can hang or stand or put close to the tomato plant if you're finding that everything's just kind of sitting there not doing much. Only water as necessary. Feel the soil. It's easy to overwater at this time of year because we think, well, I normally water every week on Sundays, but we shouldn't, you know, ever water by the calendar. We water by how the soil feels.
Right, you are. Okay, off to, just around the corner here in Toronto, Pat on the line. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
In the summer, I put black wood chips on my garden. Mm-hmm. It's a flower garden. And I'm just wondering, can I compost over those chips? Like put compost on top of them, or what do I do with them?
So some of your homemade compost, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, of course you can, but you paid a lot of money for those black chips.
Right.
And putting the compost on top is going to speed up the decomposition of the chips. Because the compost is full of life. Lots of biology, lots of microorganisms in that compost, which is great. I'm a big fan of always adding organic and living organic material to our gardens. If you have the patience and the time, I'd get out a rake. I would rake the chips back to the edges, pop in my compost, and then put the chips back on top. They're still going to decompose. That's what happens.
Okay.
So the option two is just get the compost out, get it on the garden. Don't worry about anything. Next spring or early summer, invest in more compost. More chips.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing, just putting the compost on, and then if I want more chips, put them on in the summer. And
exactly. But
the chips will decompose,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. They're going to disappear, and they're going to disappear faster.
I just wasn't sure, because this is the first time I'd used them, and I just wasn't sure just what procedure to use.
Yeah, and they look nice, right? They make the garden look very professional, the mulch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did it to just keep the moisture in, because it was going to be a hot summer.
So it was a good idea. Yeah, very good. So do the same thing again next year. I mean, that's the easiest thing, is just get the compost out there and get new mulch next year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay.
We have a couple of lines open right now. So, best to give a call if you can, anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And if you're in the Toronto area, 416-360-0740. A note from Karen Johnson in Waterloo. Dear Charlie, I was given this passion flower for my birthday in July. It hung outside until early October. Before I brought it in, I sprayed it with Safer's insecticide. It now hangs in the south window in our family room. The third photo which you sent along, which I took this morning, shows one of the last blooms of the season. How do I overwinter this lovely plant? Thank you for your advice, Karen Johnson, Waterloo.
Beautiful plant. So the nice thing about passion flower, or passiflora is what it's properly called, is you have two options. One is you can treat it as a happening kind of an indoor plant. So from outside to inside, sunny window, water as necessary, expect more blooms and more growth over the winter. But again, southern or western window, lots of light. If you don't have the space or the window or, you know, the willingness to have this plant in your, because it's quite a large hanging basket she's got there. So again, you would do some trimming back to bring it in. If you have a cool, dark, dry location, basement, you can put that plant into dormancy, semi-dormancy, really, by just taking it green and lush and all that from outside down into the cool, dark, dry. Obviously, the leaves are going to turn yellow and drop off in the dark. So you're going to be cleaning that up for a couple of weeks. And you are going to check the soil. You will need to water maybe once a month, a little bit to keep the plant alive, but it will not grow down there. It'll just go to sleep. And then once we're, you know, spring starts rolling around, the days start getting longer and you want to bring it up into the light, either up into your living room or outside once we're frost free, it'll wake back up as soon as you give it some light. And at that point, of course, you'll be giving it more water.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you, Charlie. We're going to take a little break right here and then come back to say hi to Joan in Stony Creek. It's all happening in the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. The beautiful day just outside our window here in Liberty Village. Thanks for joining us.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, and we're going to take a trip in the QEW. Get over there to Stony Creek. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I had my backyard redone this year, and I dug up most of my plants and put them in pots, but I have a hibiscus plant, and it was dormant when they did everything, and they dug all the soil up in piles, and but then they didn't really do the raised beds until late in the summer when the hibiscus plant was in full bloom and that. So I raised the evergreens and that and put soil underneath. So, but the hibiscus plant I couldn't because it was too big. Well, now it's died off again. I've cut it down, but should I raise it now or leave it till the spring? Because it's a little bit, it's about 8 inches, 10 inches lower than the rest of the garden.
How, okay,
and
so
it's kind of tight in the corner by the stone wall.
Okay, so just to be clear for any of our other listeners, you refer to this plant as a hibiscus, it's which is the correct actually name, but it's commonly known as a Rose of Sharon. So it's a flowering,
but it's not, it's
hardy.
It's kind of got the big, I bought it as a hibiscus.
It's perennial hibiscus.
Yes.
So it's disappeared right now. There's nothing above ground?
No, because I cut it down because it died off.
Right. So, but this is a plant that grows up from the root every spring.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Perfect. What I would do, you didn't want to move it when it was blooming. I hear you. How long has it been there?
About 4 or 5 years.
So, you know what? If it was me, I would move it now.
Move it now?
If you can. I mean,
I just want to lift it and put soil underneath it.
Exactly. So,
but I didn't know if it would be better to leave it till the spring or do it now.
Okay, so the problem with waiting for the spring is two things. One is that plant is one of the slowest plants to wake up in the spring. So you're going to have a hard time finding it because it's just, you know, where did it go?
I can see it all the time because there are little stumps, like.
Right, and you can put little stakes around it, too, just to know. But the thing is that in the spring, we always, like, we're so jazzed up about gardening in the spring, right? We're so excited to see growth and flowers and color and birds. But the soil in the spring is just recently thawed or thawing. So it's very cold, and it's not a happy place for the plants until it warms up. So depending on what kind of spring we have, many plants will stay dormant longer than we expect and just sit there and wait and wait and wait, which is why that perennial hibiscus does what it does. By lifting it now, if the soil is still warm, we're not near frozen soil yet, lifting it now, getting that 8 or 10 inches of fresh, good quality, you know, high in organic matter material under the plant, back in the ground, firm it all in, little stakes all around it so you know where it is, and let it be. You'll be amazed that roots will grow, even though it's 1 degree outside, down a foot underground, it's quite a bit warmer, and the roots will grow. And that's what you want. You want that plant to reestablish itself as soon as possible. The only thing that can happen in late fall planting in our gardens is that if we get some big frosts and we get heaving, because the water in the soil, when it freezes, of course, it expands. So a plant that isn't well rooted will sometimes get popped up onto the surface, like right out of the ground. Okay. So just keep an eye, you know, before the snow falls, keep an eye, make sure it's still where you left it. If it does, for some reason, start to move upwards, just push it back down and it'll be fine.
Okay.
All okay. right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And something to keep in mind, my friends, is when you're listening to the show and think, oh gosh, all these instructions Charlie's giving, what do I do to remember? You don't have to. You can always go to zoomerradio.ca and check out our podcasts and then, you know, give a couple of days hence before the.
Yeah, it's actually going up on Monday or Tuesday at the latest now.
That's excellent then. Mm-hmm. You can check back and re-listen to the show and get all your instructions at your leisure. Certainly.
And we're on iTunes as well. We are that cool. We're on iTunes. And then, of course, if you prefer to listen live on the streaming, you'll get all the animation as well.
You got it.
Because we're on camera, too.
We're going to go to Barb in Aden in just a moment. We have to take our next break right here, and we'll be right back. Charlie Dobbin on The Garden Show.
This is Zoomer Radio Toronto. CFZM-FM and CFZM-AM. Owned and operated by MZ Media Incorporated.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Indeed it is, and there is Barb in Aden. Good morning, Barb.
Oh, hi, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was just having trouble with a peace lily. It doesn't seem to be doing much. I don't know if I should be giving it some fertilizer and what kind, if I should give it fertilizer or more light or...
So when you say not doing much, it's a green plant, but you're just not getting many flowers or...
No, it hasn't flowered for about almost a year now, and it used to be quite high, and now it's just sort of, you know, an inch or two high.
Oh
goodness.
All right, and did you move it from where had been?
No, it's in a west window. Like, should it be getting more light?
No, because peace lily is very amenable to fairly low light or bright light, and they'll usually flower a little more in a little more light. But you can put them in a dark corner and. They won't thrive, but they'll certainly survive.
Uh-huh.
All right, so what could be going on there? How often are you watering that plant?
Oh, probably about once a week, but I'm noticing, like, that there'll be water sitting in the container that I have it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I empty that out so it doesn't get waterlogged, maybe I'm giving it too much water?
Maybe. I mean, the rule of thumb with watering indoor plants to make sure they're thoroughly watered is do what you're doing. Lots of water, let it drain through, let it collect in the saucer below, but only let it sit there for 20 minutes, half an hour at the most.
Oh.
After that, then you have to dump whatever in the saucer. So the water will move up through the drainage holes quite magically. It'll go against gravity. It'll go up. But after about half an hour, we assume the soil is saturated and now we are in a waterlogged situation. So eliminate the water and then don't water it again. What I do with peace lily is when it's a happy plant, it's fairly deep green. Sometimes it's a bit shiny. The leaves have, you know, pretty glossy look to them.
Uh-huh.
When they need water, however, the bright green or the sort of healthy green fades away and it gets a bit of a gray green look. The plants will lose their glossiness and eventually the leaves will go limp. And that tells you it's time to water. So depending on what size pot it's in and the temperature and all that important stuff, you might be better watering every 2 or 3 weeks, you know.
Oh, okay.
And you do want to be careful at this time of year. It's very easy to overwater plants in the winter. They're just not using the water as they did in the summer. And don't worry about lack of flowers right now. We'll get into fertilizing and regular fertilizing our indoor plants, but not till February or March. So for now, just let it be and be very careful to not overwater.
Okay. So then in the spring, what kind of fertilizer, you said in the spring to fertilize?
Yeah, February, March, you'll start a very regular schedule, whether every 2 weeks or every 4 weeks, you'll start fertilizing your indoor plants like your peace lily. And you can use an all-purpose fertilizer, a 10-10-10 kind of all-purpose, or you could go with a flowering plant fertilizer.
Oh, okay.
It'll be one or the other.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you, Barb. We're kind of exceeding our one question per caller, so we have to move along.
Thanks
Gloria,
for calling.
Thank you very much, Barb. Gloria, online from Scarborough. Good morning, Gloria.
Oh, good morning, Charlie and Frank. Glad to hear your voices again. I couldn't get in touch with you because I only can talk to you by phone.
Oh, because you don't have a computer?
I don't have a computer.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, but my question is, I just brought my dahlias in about a week ago, and I have quite a few of them. What is the right way to store them over winter?
Okay, so unlike most of our overwintered stored tender bulbs and rhizomes, dahlias need some moisture. Not wet.
Do. Right now they're very dry. They're in my basement.
Right. Were they in pots or were they in the ground?
They were in the ground.
Okay, so you dug them all up, you trimmed away all the foliage, you cleaned up most of the soil and the excess roots, and they're, what, sitting in a cardboard box in the basement? Or
Yes, right now. And I was told to wash them off. My neighbor said, you have to wash them off. I says, I'm not sure, so no. I'm so happy I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why your neighbor would say that, just because that way, for sure, you're not bringing in any of the life that's in the soil out in your garden. But you know what? I would never wash dahlias. Just with your hands, gently rub away any of the soil that came in with them, because it'll be all very dry right now.
Right.
But what you'll need to do is you'll need to go to like a Canadian Tire or whatever, get yourself a big Rubbermaid plastic box. You're going to fill that with either peat moss or brand new, unopened, soilless potting mix. So you're going to buy a bag of something when you're there.
A bag of what?
Like a potting soil. Some, not a soil from the garden, but a bagged soil.
Potting soil.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And you're going to put that into your Rubbermaid container. You're going to moisten it, not so it's soggy, but just so that it's moist. Mm-hmm. You're going to put all your dahlia tubers into that same box with all that moist, soilless mix. Mm-hmm. Cover the tubers up, put the lid on, and leave it in the dark.
Cover, so they... You have to cover, because I have to cut off this the middle stalk.
Yep.
I was told that you're supposed to cut out the mother, but this is, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You can do whatever modifications in the spring when you're replanting. For now, I would store them as is, and don't do a lot of pruning or wounding or, I mean, definitely take off the foliage that, or any of the stems are still attached and excess roots, but no other cutting.
And should I keep the soil? I don't have to touch the soil to keep it moist. It will stay moist in that container?
Well, you are going to check. You're going to put it on your calendar. Every 3 weeks, you're going to go down to the basement, open the container, feel the soil, check the tubers. If the soil, if it's too wet, they'll rot. If it's too dry, they'll shrivel up.
Okay, Gloria, we have to try and squeeze in one last call. Poor Susan on the line there waiting patiently in Burlington. Quickly, if we can, Susan, what do you have for us?
Hi.
Hi there.
I have a question about agapanthus. Mm-hmm. I discovered them in New Zealand a few years ago and then luckily found them here, and I have a number and I want to know how I can overwinter them.
Have you kept them over the winter before?
I have had one or two survive.
Okay. So, I mean, what you need... optimally, what you want is a cool basement, unheated, dry, dark, and you basically just put them into dormancy for the winter. You don't water them when they're down there. Very similar to when we were talking about, hibiscus and that sort of thing, or overwintering. I forget, somebody wrote in. So bottom line is that that's what you want. Otherwise, you're keeping it alive as a houseplant. There's really, you know, water, sun, or dark, dry. But they do, agapanthus is a bulb, and it does need a dry, dormant period.
Okay.
Yep.
There we are.
Thanks for calling,
All right.
Susan.
Thank you very much, Susan, for calling through to the show. And we look forward, of course, to having all you folks join us again next week.
Of course.
And we sign on at 9 o'clock, and the car guys are getting set to rev the engine.
Yep, there they are.
Dave's Corner Garage.
Sterilizing the studio, yep. I see. Look at that, a little cleaning.
Yeah.
That's stop sneezing. So next week, yeah. I think we need to talk a bit about birds because it's that time of year. We need to think about feeding the birds, setting up our bird feeders for that coming season. So maybe people can think about that.
Anything else that folks just in the last few seconds we have, what should folks be thinking about right now regarding
Well, there's lots going on really in terms of winter preparation. Yeah. One of the things I did this week is I sprayed a bunch of my shrubs with a deer and rabbit repellent because I'm not too sure. I just want to make sure everything comes through the winter in great condition. So, yeah, we'll talk more about that next week. If people want to think about that and call in as well.
Excellent.
All good.
All right.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Charlie.
Couldn't do any of this without you. That's for sure. My Movember buddy. And thank you, Carlos. Couldn't do it without all the great callers either. So thanks, everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.